Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names would mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
It is good to have you on a Falcon Monday. Mike Bell, we got a lot to get to, my man. A lot to talk about today. Not only coming off of what you just heard us talking with Rick and John about, the dogs, and what happens now moving forward, but this huge Falcon win. Mike and I were just sitting in the bullpen with Brian, who's engineering the show today, Bo Morgan producing. We find out that Mike Smith's been fired down in Tampa.
Yeah.
Brian Snitker gets an extension. There's a lot of stuff going on. But, Mike, we start first, as we do on Mondays, with what went down in Mercedes-Benz yesterday. And by the way, thank you for having the roof open. Can we do more of that, please?
Well, this is something anybody who's had tickets at the Georgia Dome would say, man, look at this. It's a beautiful 70-degree day here in Atlanta. It's sunny. Don't you wish we had a stadium with a retractable roof or just an open-air stadium? Perfect. Now, I don't know how toasty some of those people were behind the Buccaneers bench as the sun made its way from around the end zone. But we were up in 300, and it was perfect. There was a breeze coming in. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, that's exactly when you saw how the stadium was supposed to work. This was the weekend, the picture-perfect day for it.
Well, guys, we get a win. And I'm going to start there because you know we will break down this game in many different ways and on different levels. But we needed a win. Coach Quinn's not willing and wasn't willing to say it was a must-win, and that's fine. We knew it was. And now that you've got another division win, this puts you, believe it or not, now don't look at the overall record.
Right.
Look at the division record. It puts you in the driver's seat, Mike. And we always talk about this on this program. And the easiest way to get to the playoffs, guys, is win your division. So now you still have games against the Saints, right? Carolina. You get the Bucs the last day of the season on December 30th. And who knows where they're going to be now that they fired Mike Smith and where that ship goes. The fact is, you're in command of your division right now after this win.
Now, you get the Giants coming in here on Monday night. And obviously, the first thing I said to Carlton, I said, how are we going to stop Saquon Barkley? You're going to be able to tackle him? You're going to be able to get him on the ground? Because as bad as the Giants' offensive line and as awful as Eli Manning has looked, Saquon Barkley has been the one constant. Fantasy owners, you know that because he puts up ridiculous numbers no matter what the circumstances. So that's a guy that you're going to have to find a way to stop. You know, Ingram has been banged up at tight end. Odell Beckham, aside from being the soap opera, he's still a viable target, Carl. But, yeah, you're in this. But here's the thing. Now we're getting guys. Now, who are you replacing Matt Bryant with if it's worst-case scenario and he can't kick? You're going to bring in somebody out of the college ranks, a retread from the NFL? I mean, this is the worst-case scenario because we were kind of being tongue-in-cheek, but he was a big part of our offense, and he's our most reliable piece, arguably.
He is. And listen, Calvin Ridley seemed to be off to a good start yesterday before he leaves the game. Mm-hmm. Ridley scores. Snoop gets you one. He did. Hands the ball to his son, by the way, and I thought that was precious. But the fact of the matter is these injuries continue to rack up, and we keep looking like, all right, next man, we're going to run out of men up.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, and we told, look, we said all last week, this is going to be just like the Bengals game. And it was just like the Bengals game. We scored a ton of points. We actually did the bare minimum running. Once again, running the football, those yards were at a premium. And we had a hard time getting a stop. Now, we did create turnovers. Unfortunately, they were deep in our own territory, so we couldn't convert them into scores. The one thing which really freaked me out was nice momentum. We start the third, we start the third quarter, and we have three punts, Carl. We get three punts when you really need to kind of put this game away. And unfortunately, because the defense is where it is right now with injuries, you let the Bucs come right back down the field and made it a football game. That irked me. But, look, we know our limitations. The offensive line is not great. And our defense, we're just trying to keep our head above water until Debo comes back.
It's a great point. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. 929 The Game is the station. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes in the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. What did you make? What were you thinking? How did you feel when Dan Quinn made the decision to kick the field goal? A 57-yarder, guys. Now, understand in that moment, if we do not get it, you're giving the Bucs great field position, and you saw them moving the ball down the field. It was a must-have field goal. And Dan Quinn had balls of steel to do it and make that call. He gets a game ball today for that call.
Game balls.
Matt Bryant comes in, Mike, 57. And I got to be honest, I was mixed. At first, I'm like, whoa, 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 it's fourth and two. What are you doing?
Right.
And then the other part of me is like, punt, because that's what football heads tell you. You got to punt the ball, play field position. Then the other part of me was like, you know what? I'm tired of playing to lose. Let's play to win.
Right. But if you miss it, they can go down three or four throws, and, man, they got a field goal to win the game, basically, is what would have happened. And maybe eating the clock, and we wouldn't have had any chance to get back in it. But it all worked out. Our defense – and, by the way, I know that play almost worked, but I still think if I'm Tampa Bay – I would roll Jameis out and try to get, you know, Evans in the corner somewhere. I still don't understand why they were trying to do all that nonsense. I thought they could have just tried a regular offensive play as opposed to whatever they call that, you know, Buck shenanigans on one. But the way it worked out, I mean, heart. I mean, it's why you love a live sporting event. You're basically about to have a heart attack. People going down the stairs. We're all kind of going. We had some ATL chants going. A lot of us just going, I don't know if I can take any more of this.
I was on the edge of my seat. I know you guys were. The good news is a win, and it's hard to get W's in the NFL. It just is. I mean, we take for granted that we, you know, even if our team was completely healthy, right, there's still a lot of talent on the opposite side of the field. And right. So these wins don't come easy. I get it. But all I will say is I'll take it and we'll move on. Next game is Monday night. Now, as we get into our conversation about the Falcons, guys, on this Falcon Monday, Dan Quinn's presser at 3:15. He will also sit down and talk with Wes and Dave today, Wes Durham and Dave Archer, during the coaches segment at 4 o'clock. Today's player segment will be Desmond Trufant, who, Mike, mm-hmm. I thought played well yesterday again.
No, we were on his back for not getting that interception against Cincinnati, and he's bounced back with some good efforts, certainly. I think there was times where you just kind of go, what are we doing here? You know what we're doing. It's that zone coverage. There's going to be stuff underneath, and you've got to be able to get guys on the ground. I thought there was another, like, the missed tackles, I just don't know if we're ever going to be that good a tackling team without our stars out there on defense. But I thought the secondary did a better job, and they created turnovers. You know, I mean, as we said, one was inside our own five, and one was a touchback. But offense couldn't convert it to points, but the defense got the stops we needed them to get.
There were a lot of good things to talk about. I've been ranting and raving about DeMonte KZ, saying he's a ball hawk, he's a player. Player! He is going to be very good. Now, given that he's getting playing time, you guys see what a difference maker he is. You know, he intercepts Jameis Winston to stop that Buccaneers drive. That was a huge play. I mean, the Brian Poole pick was a huge play. There were certain plays that Mike, for whatever reason, maybe 2 weeks before, we didn't make.
Right.
We made in this game.
Yeah, Poole gets the deflection. They grab the ball. How about when Poole nearly knocked Jameis out of the game there for a minute? Started a ruckus on the Falcons sideline. Everybody's going bananas. But that's Poole, man. He's always starting trouble. But he made some big plays. So as we said, we knew you'd have to get, just give me three or four stops. And the defense did that. Unfortunately, the offense just really couldn't get on track because I thought Smitty dialed up the blitzing. At least that's what it looked like from where I was sitting.
No, in the second half, they came after Matt a little bit more, and I thought the offensive line did a better job of picking it up, certainly than they did against Pittsburgh the week before. Guys, Matt Ryan continues to be on fire. I said it 2 weeks ago. I'll say it again. Don't call this show and talk about Matt Ryan. He is not the issue. That is not the problem. Matt, 31 of 41, 75% completion rate yesterday, 354 yards and 3 touchdowns. He is doing everything we've asked him to do. Mike and I were adamant in the summer when we said, hey, our quarterback's got to play better. He's not the only guy, but he's got to play better, and he has.
Yeah, and he's also in a rush. He had, a 13-yard gain where he picks up a first down. I mean, I think Matt, you know, in the past, he might kind of waver before he decides to run. Now he makes that decision. He gets to the first down marker, and that was crucial. You're not expecting Matt to do that on a lot, but he's been able to do it effectively this year. And then Julio. Look, I don't care if he scored, you know, if he got 50 yards, 150 yards. I don't care if he, as long as somebody's getting touchdowns. But Julio had another typical Julio day, 10 receptions for 143 yards. And again, moving the chains with some really tough catches on some of those big drives late in the game.
Move the chains. He did do that. We don't win yesterday without those catches by Julio Jones, despite the fact that he doesn't get in the end zone. Again, when Calvin goes down and Sanu goes down, Ridley, that is, you're thinking, all right, who's going to step up? I mean, even Gage, Mike, they had a play for Gage, Russell Gage, who hadn't caught a ball, I don't believe, Squid, all year long, and Gage comes in and makes a huge first down for you in this game.
How many guys were on their Falcons app going, who's 83? It's Gage. Roll up there. We got a guy who sits two seats down from me. It was Gage from LSU.
Yeah.
So we had no idea who the guy was. But, yeah, everybody contributed. Look, it's survive in advance. We know what we've got to do and how we're going to do it. And I would imagine this Monday night game with the Giants is going to be a lot similar, except it's going to be more about Saquon Barkley running the football, and we're not going to, we're not going to be able to afford empty calories. Every time we get the ball, we're going to have to do something with it.
Now, speaking of running the football, big shout out, and yes, he will get a game ball a little bit later on. Ito Smith, Mike, we didn't get a real sense of what he could do in the preseason, and we didn't really have an opportunity to judge his performances. This kid's been good. I mean, he scored again yesterday. And now you're talking about Ito Smith, who, you know, had 11 carries, 22 yards, and a touchdown. But it's the the third consecutive game with a rushing touchdown for Ito Smith, and he becomes the first Falcon rookie to accomplish that feat. So Ito's doing his part along with Coleman. I'm not going to tell you that we're better because I know some people believe that. I want to see all of our stars out on the field, and I hope Free can get back out there. But Ito Smith stepped up.
Now, again, he got in the end zone. He was grinding, man. He was having a hard time trying to get him out in space. And we talked about this going into the game. The Tampa Bay secondary, you know about how bad it is, but their linebackers are really good. Quan Alexander, Levante David, those guys have been making plays in this rivalry for years, and those guys were coming up big, and they were a real handful, certainly, for our offensive line at times when Mike Smith got a little more aggressive and dialed up the blitz. But I just thought it's a great win. Just great to – hey, stop the bleeding, man. Let's get some positivity. You know, less doom and gloom. And then if you look at the schedule, I mean, yes, I mean, we're not in a position to pencil in wins, but these are winnable games coming up.
No doubt about it. More about the Falcons, more about the Dogs as well. We'll get some headlines, but first, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
horse, H-O-R-S-E. Horse is the word. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 right now for your chance to win $1,000.
That's horse. Did you make people dribble exactly like you dribbled when you played horse? It was just all about the shot.
No. You had to do everything. You got to mimic every move, even the head fake.
Right. Because some of us struggle going between our legs. But anyway, Horace, guys, gets texted to 72881. We get you five chances. This is chance number one to win $1,000 in our national signing bonus contest. Text Horace to 72881. Answer the phone if somebody calls you today.
All right, we're coming back. We've got headline news, guys, about our Braves and the Dogs. Stay right there.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. You should be feeling good, man. Because our team, as Mike said, stopped the bleeding and, more importantly, I think have put themselves back in position to maybe make a run here. Now, plenty of work still left to do, but, guys, as we talk about this this win yesterday here on a Falcon Monday on Dukes and Bell, you know, we're trying to point out there were a lot of positives that took place yesterday. The defense kind of is what it is. Even when we got up Mike big, I'm thinking, this is great. And then I had to check myself because right. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I know they're going to score, and I know they're going to score some points and make it close.
Right.
And that's what happened.
And, you know, their box score was pretty impressive. You know, we talked about, you know, Jameis Winston, 395 yards in the air and another 31 on the ground. Peyton Barber had 82 yards. But, you know, the defense did get some stops. I mean, look, we know it's there's no point in, well, if this if these guys are who they are, okay? This is now, the good news is KZ is really good. You know, and the good news is when Ricardo Allen is back next year, there, you know, KZ might be next to Keanu Neal next year, you know, at safety. Because those guys are so good at what they do, and we always knew that KZ was going to be this guy, especially after this preseason. But, yeah, man, Duke Riley still, I mean, I think he's getting better. It's a slow progress with Duke? I thought he was better this week. But everybody's missing tackles. And Aluakin, the kid from Yale.
Foyer Aluakin, yes.
Smart kid. We had a chance to speak with him briefly in the locker room 2 weeks ago. Boy, he's just taking bad angles. He's just missing left and right. I mean, he's lost in space himself right now. Because a guy from Yale to go start in the NFL in this situation, that's not an easy ask.
No, it's not.
Because you're not that kind of an athlete.
Well, and I also think, Mike, too, even when you are, though, there is this thing that happens, and we've talked about it, guys. I mean, for some guys, it takes a year. Some guys, it takes 3 years. And then you go, man, what happened? Nothing. He got experience on the job, and he understands what's expected. He understands the angles of pursuit. He understands how and what the defenses are about. There is a difference when you're playing zone and knowing where you're supposed to be versus, all right, I'm just backing up. Oh, I mean, there's a difference. So all of that stuff is processing with guys that are currently on the field who were not expected to be on the field for this many snaps.
But Aluakin was your leading tackler, 10 solos, 7 assisted tackles. So the guy was, look, he's making plays. But as we said, at least these guys are working their butts off. The pass rush, I mean, we did get some sacks. It wasn't from the guys we expected to, but I thought certainly that, you know, the defense, it is what it is. I watch Vic Beasley a lot sometimes, and I see where he's going. I see him just kind of running around, pushed away from the play. Or if he does get pursuit or if he gets some penetration, he just misses on the quarterback. He's this close.
Almost.
Right.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's Monday. Certainly want to hear from you guys on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Brian behind the glass. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
There were plenty of big plays in this game on Sunday against the Bucks. None bigger than the Matt Bryant 57-yard field goal. Mm.
This is going to be 57 yards for Bryant. Snap from Harris. Spot Bosher. Try is away, and it is going to be good.
With about 2 feet to spare.
I was like, wow. Just wow. Now, with that said, we await to hear official word on Matt Bryant's status, as Dan Quinn is going to update us here in about 40 minutes, guys. So stay tuned for that, as Dan Quinn will have his official press conference up at Flowery Branch. Meanwhile, Quinn, after the game, talking about the team, Mike, the team.
It's pretty cool when it's everybody's involved in the win, and when you keep fighting and keep battling for it. So I thought it was an excellent team win today, and there was a number of different guys that stepped up, and that's what happens. Injuries come down, a couple receivers are out, other men stepped up defensively. I thought, different guys just having to battle and go through. Excellent team win is what I told them.
I don't know how this season is going to ultimately play out, but I will tell you that the mark of a great quarterback is when you don't have your stars around you, but yet you're still able to produce at a high level. That's what Matt Ryan's doing right now. And, you know, through six games this season, the Falcons have produced 23 red zone drives and scored on 20. We ranted and raved about fixing the red zone, they got to score touchdowns. We are.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because you didn't really run the ball that effectively. You ran it 22 times, 70 yards. So, again, much like the Bengals game, you ran just enough to keep the defense, you know, honest enough. But Matt made plays. Matt making plays all over the place, you know. And another thing which we hadn't really talked about, and let's give credit where credit's due there, because I was dogging him out this summer. I was saying, man, this is a big draft for tight ends. Is Hooper going to be the guy? Man, has Hooper come on like a rock star or what this season?
He has. And, Mike, you know, that interview that I had with him during camp where he said Matt and I worked like 500 hours together. And you kind of put that in your head and you go, you see it?
Right.
You guys got to tell me, I see it. I see the connection when Matt, and he said this to me, where Matt needs to know where I like the ball, where he can deliver the ball so I can make a play. And he made plays in traffic too, Mike.
Yeah, it was Julio and Hooper as far as the leading targets, guys. If you didn't see it, 10 receptions for Julio, 9 for Hooper. He's making plays. He's athletic. He breaks a tackle. It's not like the first guy gets him on the ground. That sometimes drives me crazy about Coleman.
Right.
But this guy can make plays. And we already talked about the Julio thing. Look, we're not going to make it a thing. We won the game. You know, I mean, hopefully at some point he will get in the end zone, but the guy is just making unbelievably tough catches and plays in multiple, triple coverage in some cases, or drawing guys to open things up for the other dudes.
Speaking of Hoop, here's Matt Ryan talking about his tight end.
When guys go down, other people have to, you know, step up and fill the void, and he did that today, but, you know, he's done that for us even when those guys are up. So his talent level, his hard work is paying off. He's doing a really good job for us.
That he is. In other news, guys, and more on the Falcons coming up, Mike, Brian Snicker signs a 2-year extension with the Braves to stay on. It's a 2-year with an option, club option for 2021. So Snick, guys, will remain the Braves skipper. I don't think anybody should or will have a problem with this. We talked about it throughout the course of the season. I know some people wanted to see more of what he had to offer in the playoffs. I'm curious to see what adjustments they make in the offseason, what they do to tweak this team. This is a team now that you can legitimately go into the spring, Mike, and say they should be the favorites to win the East. And I know the Bryce Harper piece is still out there,
right?
But that doesn't matter. This team is built for now.
Well, the only guy who's not going to be on the Braves coaching staff as they move into 2019, remember, guys, starting in Orlando, then down to the new home in Northport, Florida, will be the pitching coach, Chuck Hernandez, which I don't think anybody was a big fan of, to be quite honest with you. I mean, because of the youth and because of just a poor quality of bullpen, I don't think any pitching coach could actually probably get a great grade with this group of guys from time to time, but they're going to move on to somebody else. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos today addressing the media says the search is a full process. They will consider all candidates in-house and outside. Here's the thing, guys. You got a crop of young pitchers. I said that we got four guys we didn't even see that are supposed to be studs that played, you know, in AAA. They want a guy to develop these young arms and then give those guys like a Sean Newcomb, Mike, the confidence he needs to continue to grow to become a maybe an ace.
Right.
So I don't know who that is, but that's what the Braves are trying to achieve by making that move with the pitching coach. Meanwhile, other news, guys, the Dogs lose, and we're going to talk more about this for the next segment here in about 7 minutes as we'll get in-depth. But, Mike, what did you make of the loss by the Dogs?
I think LSU, much like the Steelers a few weeks back, actually last week against the Falcons, they had a plan. They were physical. You know, Kirby Smart said, look, you saw Vandy run the ball against us. You saw Mizzou do it. And LSU was able to do that. And then I think, you know, we kind of said, yeah, you know, quarterback's okay. He's nothing special. Well, he's making plays, too. I thought that certainly the biggest beef I had when the game was still in reach, I didn't get Chaney's play calls. You were averaging 6 and 8 yards, respectively, with your running backs, with Swift and with Holyfield. You came out after you did the ridiculous fake field goal. LSU goes down the field. They make it 10-0. You come out, throw. That's panic, okay? That's what it looked like to me. I thought they coached stiff, and I don't know if they don't have an extended package to use for Fields out there, but where was that when you needed it? Because Fromm couldn't make the throws he was been asked to make.
No, and you know, it's tough. We talk about this. We'll certainly, you know, be harsh on coaches, administration. You know, sometimes it's hard when you talk about student-athletes, right?
Right.
Fromm didn't play well, and I'm sure he'd be the first one to tell you that. But, guys, you had a guy. It's not like they didn't look to the bench and go, man, we don't have anything. They have a guy that they could have gone to, not only for a spark. And I said this, and I'm going to stand by it. I just don't believe Kirby wants that controversy. Because if you put him in, Mike, and Justin Fields, for whatever reason, and I don't know how good he would have been. I know Rick Kemmler's under the impression that things might have changed completely. I don't know if Georgia wins. But if they did, today it's a completely different conversation. Kirby knows that. He stayed with his guy that's Fromm as of right now. And I just felt like he kept looking over there going, mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and we'll try, and I guess the media will try out in Athens this week, or again, it's a bye week, they're off as they get ready for the Florida Gators, and now that game's tougher than it was certainly expected to be at the cocktail party, but yeah, man, I didn't like Chaney's play calling. I thought this is kind of like old Chaney, you know, you saw LSU was starting to dictate their tempo and their game plan, and you couldn't respond, and the offensive line, we knew the limitations with the young freshman being plugged in there. LSU, I thought we could match up athlete for athlete. I thought the coaches didn't put the players in a chance to beat those athletes.
We'll hear from Kirby coming up in about 5 minutes. Stay tuned for that. Paul Johnson's Georgia Tech squad, frustrated with turnovers. What a pathetic performance that was by Georgia Tech. 6 fumbles. 6?
Yeah, and in the red zone, too, is where they was really killing you.
All right, more with Coach Johnson as well on the way. And some other headline news, guys. We are paying attention to the ALCS and the NLCS. Dodgers beat the Bruins. It's even at 1. Boston evens the ALCS. It is also even at 1.
But, boy, an old Brave favorite, Craig Kimbrell, not the solid piece coming out of the bullpen that he once was. Man, guys getting on base, right? I mean, and certainly you don't have that confidence that you did if you're a Red Sox fan.
I agree, man. I think, you know, Kimbrell, and Mike, I don't know if he'll ever be the guy he was when he was here.
Right.
But we saw him struggle in the ALDS, and you kind of go, all right, you know, you're kind of getting away from what you're about. And sometimes that identity of what you do well, you get in these pitching matchups, especially against a really good hitting team like the Astros, and you start to overthink it, right? And you go, well, wait a minute, what's the catcher doing? They got to be on the same page, and I just felt like, you know, you watch Kimbrel. I remember what he was here with the Braves. He was fantastic. Then we traded him away. He kind of had a down year or so. Now he's kind of found himself again there.
Yeah, that air of invincibility, not there right now for Kimbrel out of the bullpen. And the Dodgers got the same issues in their bullpen too right now.
All right, man, more about the Dogs coming up. We move a segment today, guys, because 4 o'clock we've got the Coach's Show with Dan Quinn, Wes, and Dave get a chance to sit down with Coach. So we will talk Dogs and college football next.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
And 92.9thegame.com. Now, on the sidelines with the Dogs.
We go on the sidelines each and every day. Brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man. Brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500. We've seen it the last few months here in the Southeast. Make sure your home is always protected with the power being on with a backup generator. Great deals, guys. Go to brightboxelectrical.com.
All right, before we hear from Kirby Smart, I want to ask you guys how you feeling about the rankings. I put out my What I Learned on Sunday, which I do, coming off the college football weekend. And I had Georgia 10th. Okay?
Okay.
And people were like, whoa. Georgia currently in the AP poll at 8. Guys, they still have to beat a ranked Kentucky team. First of all, Florida. Then a ranked Kentucky team. Okay. Auburn's not what we thought they are, but they could spoil your season. You right. still have to beat them.
You still got to block them. They still got a good defensive
absolutely.
Front.
And then you got to beat Alabama, which is the team I think ultimately is going to come out of the West. Now, I know LSU is playing well. But here's the point. You do all of that, the Dogs are going to be in the college football playoff. But as of right now, based on the information in front of us, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, the top four in, according to the AP. And again, that's not the official thing. We're waiting on the college football playoff committee poll. LSU at 5. Michigan with the big win over Wisconsin. They are 6.
And it was a big one. They're playing a lot better football.
They are. Shea Patterson. I like what I saw from him. Texas at 7. Georgia 8. OU at 9. Don't laugh. UCF at 10. And I actually had UCF higher in my rankings just because they continue to win and no Power Fives want to play them. It's kind of the schedule is what it is, and they keep winning. Now, some people say they beat a bad Memphis team or, you know, that game shouldn't have been what it was, but they are unbeaten.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're like Boise State. We mentioned this last week. Nobody's going to want to play it because what's gained by it? Like when Georgia scheduled Boise State in the mid-2000s at the Georgia Dome. No reason to do it, you know. So, you know, unless you just keep adding people to your program and you try to get someone to, you know, throw you a bone and you can move up to another conference, which isn't going to happen. It's a tough lot in life, man. You're in a tough spot. But, all right, you want to throw them, let's say, the Orange Bowl the way NIU got to play Florida State a couple years ago, you'll have a half-empty stadium and people will go, that's a horrible football game. But the Auburn win last year in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl is certainly what gives a lot of people the pause to say, just like Boise State beat Oklahoma, these guys can beat anybody.
It's true. Florida, by the way, Florida fans, don't fret. They are 11. And again, if Florida runs the table and gets to the SEC championship and somehow beats Alabama, because I'm going to say that about anybody, Alabama's playing so well. Tua Tagovailoa has just been absolutely incredible this year.
Now he's going to be out for a minute, perhaps banged up, but you got a great backup. That's why if you're saving, you had to maintain that balancing act.
No doubt, Mike. So, my point is, things are going to play out like they do in college football. And we'll see where these chips fall at the end of the season. But as of right now, that's the AP rankings. Coaches' rankings, very similar. We're still waiting. We're a couple of weeks away, actually, a week or so away from the college football playoff rankings. With that said, Mike, let's hear from Kirby Smart. I know a lot of Dog fans disappointed in what they saw on Saturday. And you know, with the game, literally, Mike, you're on the road, all right? And I'm going to say this, and I'm screaming it at my house. When you're on the road, take the points.
Yes.
When you're on the road, take the points. Okay? If you're at home, you could try a fake field goal like that because usually the crowd, the momentum, you're going to get the ball back. All these things play out over the years. And, you know, you talk to coaches, and I've talked to plenty who tell me, Dukes, take the points when you're on the road. Kirby chose not to early in the game, and it came back to bite him.
Yeah, it's dumb. It doesn't. The only time it would work for Les Miles, even when it worked for Les Miles, it was dumb. Right? If you go back, last time we saw the placeholder throw the ball over his head. And no disrespect to Rodrigo, everybody loves, but he's not the guy that's going to beat anybody if they see this thing coming. So it was slow to develop, and they snuffed it out. And you're right. Kick the field goal. Get your defense back on the field. It became a touchdown for LSU. They march right down the field, and then you go three and out. So that's where the game started to slip away for Georgia. It was a huge momentum shift.
It really was. Here's Kirby Smart.
Their quarterback played really well. He got them in the right plays on a lot of run checks, and we didn't tackle real well defensively, which we've seen before. And then offensively, we couldn't get any rhythm in the second quarter. And it was frustrating all day. We had some plays where we missed some opportunities, but we didn't make the plays when we had to.
So, you know, one of the things we talked about last week, and it was funny because Burrow hit some guys that were wide open. Still got to hit him. But we talked about, is he going to be able to make the throws over the top? Mike, he made some of those throws. 15 for 30 for 200 yards. It wasn't a like, whoa, this guy is off the charts game. But the kid played well enough. And not only that, the runs that he made, you know, were huge in this game. So credit to Joe Burrow, man. He played a lot better than expected.
We did give you that information last week that this guy can move with the football, obviously, and he's not just throwing it. And how about when LeCount almost got the ball, too? That was one of the over the – I mean, he makes a great throw, but Georgia is literally just inches from a big turnover there. And DeAndre Baker got banged up in the game. So it just – you felt it slipping away, and you were, I know Georgia fans and everybody wants to make it a thing, and we'll see how it's handled in this off week. But do you have more than simple – one or two plays, it seems like, for Fields? Can't you give Fields an entire series? Or is that, to your point, Carl, and I think we're in agreement on this, Kirby doesn't want to create a situation
No.
where you show this kid moving around and hitting guys. We've not had a chance to really see this guy stretch his wings a little bit and do his thing.
Yeah, I know that some dog fans will say, well, he wants to do whatever it takes to win. Not if it's going to cause the kind of controversy and stir that might have happened at LSU if Fields comes in and wins the game. I'm going to stay with the guy that I've been with. And that's where Kirby was Saturday. And I got to tell you, as a dog fan, it was disappointing to see that he wasn't willing to go there, Mike. Right. Sometimes you just got to go there. And then it plays out however it plays out, and then you handle it. But, you know, I just didn't think he felt like he wanted to go there. Here's Kirby talking about meeting the standard.
We got a standard at Georgia we play to, and we didn't do that today. The good news is we get an opportunity to go out and get to work and get better.
Now, here, real quick, here's what was interesting to me. Did you guys see the pregame, right as Kirby came onto the field, the interview, as they're getting ready to start the game? And she said, you know, how do you get your kids ready? And I apologize, I don't know who it was. I just saw, like, the brief ending part of this. And she asked, the sideline reporter asked the question, how do you get your kids ready for this environment? He was like, we practice every day, and we hit people in the mouth. Georgia got hit in the mouth.
Right.
And it's the first time this season, physically, Mike, they've been challenged like this. And this is what I was talking about all last week when I said, guys, you're beating up on all these guys and everybody, you know, 27-point average. But this was a physicality they had yet to deal with.
Right. Big-time offensive line. Was it Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Was the one making the big runs? Didn't get in the end zone, but he was, you know, moving the chains. We talked about Brissett. He got in the end zone. You mentioned that, you know, Burrow had 66 yards when he scrambled. So this was a defense where you were winning games, but even the most diehard dog fan says there's still something missing. And you saw it against LSU. But I put this one, even though the defense did give up big plays, Carl, I put this on Chaney. DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield were getting everything they wanted in the run game. But we came back down 10-0, throw. Catch your breath. Run the football. Get some tempo back. And then you started coaching scared. I put this one on Chaney in the first half for sure.
Swift was averaging 6 a pop. Holyfield, 8 a pop. How do you go away from that?
I don't get it. And then you're also, here's the thing. If there were easy throws, like if there was a nice wheel route or something where you want to swing Swift around the outside, you were asking Fromm to make really difficult throws. How many times did you see it? He's got a DB draped over the receiver he's trying to go to. That happened time after time.
It was tough. Real quick, Bo, who was the sideline reporter?
It was Jamie Erdahl.
Correct. Yes, she was interviewing Kirby. You know that they do right before the game starts. But it was just interesting to hear him say that because I think Kirby felt like their practices leading up to that game had prepared them for it. It really hadn't. Real quick before we get out of the dog report, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, Brightbox loves the dogs, and they like the jackets too. Again, give them a buzz, 770-901-2500. Go to Brightbox Electrical for the ultimate man cave. Still time, or tell your wife to put that on your Christmas list.
All right, we have been saying this for most of the season. What is going to happen with Georgia Tech? Are they going to get in a roll? Oh, they went up to Louisville and smacked Louisville. Okay, I tell you what, it's 2 in a row. They beat Bowling Green, they beat Louisville. This is it. And then you see Saturday's performance, Mike. Homecoming against Duke.
Yeah, the turnovers just absolutely killed them. And I was talking to a couple of Tech fans over who were walking back, and they were not happy and not happy with Coach Johnson. And you know what the name which I kept hearing?
What's that?
Lane Kiffin. They want to bring Lane Kiffin in. You know what?
It's not a bad idea.
You could do a lot worse. You could do a lot worse. You want to energize your fan base? I'm not sure that everybody would agree on that one, but yeah, the turnovers and when they happen just absolutely killed you. Special teams, again, not good for Georgia Tech.
All right. Paul Johnson was very frustrated with the turnovers and made that clear. Tech loses 28-14 to Duke. They are now 3-4, guys. Still to play Virginia Tech, the U. They got Georgia at the end of the season. We'll see how this season plays out. You need, by the way, 6 games to be bowl eligible. Hey, real quick, guys, Falcon fans, your chance to save $100 at Kauffman Tire this season when the Falcons score a touchdown. For each quarter they score a touchdown, you save $25. Falcons scored in three quarters yesterday. That means you save $75 on a set of 4 new tires. Today and today only, visit KauffmanTire.com.
Problem for the Dogs, this was the worst fear. Now you got Notre Dame, other schools in front of you, and now you need other teams to lose. And they may, but right now, Georgia, you've lost control of your destiny.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
And 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.